of the year sermon, because I wasn't here last Sunday to do my last of the year sermon. And so it's going to be kind of, I asked the ladies if I could do a slash title on the sermon, you know, end of 2:12, beginning of 2:13 slash, you know. So Rocky Bullwinkle. Is anybody old enough to remember Rocky and Bullwinkle and how the titles would be one thing and then it'd say R and then you'd have a second term? I used to do those kind of titles, you know. Some of us are old enough, aren't we? Some of you young people, you just don't even know what you've missed. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's a couple things I want to say about last year. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so honored to be your pastor. I know we have life we're living. We have pressures of life. We have ups and downs and battles and struggles and things like that. But I'm so proud of Life Changer Church. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm honored to be your pastor. Many of you in this room today had a very challenging year last year. But you stayed faithful to God. You stayed faithful to God in many ways. One, in attendance. Two, in your giving. You know, we started off last year in a very challenging place. Y'all, all of you except visitors would know my philosophy. I don't come to you and put pressure on you to give more money. I put pressure on the King of Kings in prayer and with faith. And then if he speaks to you and you all hear his voice, you know how God talks to you, then you respond to that. And that's my preferred way of doing it, unless the Lord speaks to me and tells me I should share a need with you. Generally, you will not hear me do that. If I share a particular need in the church with you, then it's because I feel like the Holy Spirit told me I was supposed to tell you and not tell him. Or in conjunction with telling him, I'm telling you. I'm proud of you because you hear from God. This is a people who can hear from God. You know how to hear from God in your hearts. You have an inclination to obedience. This church is not a church that has an inclination to disobedience. Well, I thought all people have. This church has an inclination, individually and as families, to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's just true. Whether it's easy or hard. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to obey God because it means you have to deny self. You have to deny what your desires are. You have to desire what your priorities are and make His priorities first. But this church, in an individual way, has an inclination. You're inclined to obey God. This church is not inclined to resist God. So, well, I know somebody in this church that resists God. Well, keep your nose out of their business. Why do you know that? Well, I'm proud of you, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness this last year and the many things that we've accomplished in the community and in serving the Lord. In reaching children in the summer and ministering to kids. Well, they're doing that tonight, today, but all the time. And in the youth ministry and Steve's hard work and the folks that work, Kyle and Amanda that work with he and Tiffany and their hard work among our youth and just the hard work that goes on in lots of different things. The gals in the office, the tape duplicator people, which reminds me, you know, there's always a complimentary copy of the sermon of the day. Back there available. It takes a little bit of time to get them duplicated and made available, but they're there. And we want you to have them. We want you to use them, but we want you to have them. You know, just pick one up and put it in your car and let it warp with the sun. Now, that's not our goal. But if you feel like the message will be helpful to somebody, we want you to share it. We want you to feel free to take one and share it. And, you know, we want you to feel free to recommend the website. Hey, Pastor Ted had a good word, or Travis had a good word. You need to watch it. Go to the website, click on the link that's there, and you can watch the sermons. Thank you, church. Thank you for being a great church, for making choices for God. It's amazing. I'm proud to be your pastor. Okay, let's open our Bibles this morning. That's all about last year. Let's go to the new year. Hallelujah. I mean it, though. Man. In Matthew chapter 9. Kyle, if you'll just put it up there for me. Verse 14. This particular story appears in all three synoptics. Everybody knows synoptics are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic means a synopsis of the life of Christ. None of the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, none of them fully report every detail of the life of Christ. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are by design, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, leadership of the Holy Spirit, are synopsises, are snapshots of the life of Christ from a particular perspective. And when you find a story or a teaching that shows up in all three synoptics, that's pretty important. All of them are important, but there's emphasis, I think. There's a weightiness to a story that shows up in all three synoptics. And when you get a story that shows up in all three synoptics in the Gospel of John, that puppy is like in flashing neon lights. It's like, pay attention to this Holy Spirit screaming at us. It's like texting in capital letters. Somebody said, is there another way to text? Sending an email in all caps. No, it's screaming at us. And this particular story shows up in all three synoptics. It's amazing. And Jesus, in verse 14, that's where we're going to start. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Father, I ask you to help me to share the Word of God today in a way that is clear and articulate, that will be helpful for us as we head into this new year. Lord, we know that your Word is eternal. It embodies truth that will change our lives forever. So we ask you today, Lord, for the miracle of preaching. When a mere man talks about the concepts of the kingdom of God in the Scripture, and in the hearing ear of the believer, it becomes a living word with the power to change lives. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen? All right, let's talk about this. This is one of those parables, so let's get context. So Jesus and the disciples, the 12, were walking along, and it was a day when everybody else that was religious was fasting. Maybe it was the Sabbath. We don't know what day it was, but it was a day when the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist were all in their tradition of fasting. And on this day, they were walking along, and the audacity of the Lord's disciples was to pick up the grains, the head of grains on the plants, and to shell them and begin to eat that stuff and violate the law of the fast. And so John's disciples came to Jesus. This is early in the ministry, all three accounts. They came to Jesus and said, well, wait a minute, how come your guys aren't doing this religious discipline that all of us are doing? I mean, you know, the Pharisees and John the Baptist, I mean, all of us, we're doing this, but your guys aren't doing it. Why is that? Well, and that's the occasion that presents this teaching. So Jesus says to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn? Because fasting is always considered a mourning thing. You fast. I don't want to get too far astray here, but fasting is a thing that where you afflict your body so that you can actually hear from heaven. You subdue the senses of the body. Somebody say, well, I fast, I'm hungry, that thing's screaming. I know it's reminding you. Okay, and so the idea is to do without food so that you can deny the flesh so that you can be more spiritually attuned. Now, that's the point of fasting in the New Testament. That was not the point of fasting for the Pharisees and the disciples of John. Their fast was a religious thing. And it was so that people would see their spirituality. It's a wonderful thing for your spirituality to be seen by people. But if you're doing spiritual discipline so someone else will recognize that you're a spiritual person, then you have your reward. But if you are doing spiritual disciplines to meet with God in a better, different, clearer way, that's different. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, if you're fasting, you're not supposed to tell anybody you are. Because it's just between you and God. Unless, of course, there's a corporate fast call. That's a different thing. Now, so Jesus said, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with him? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away." Jesus was taken away, wasn't he? Okay, this interactive sermon here. They were taken away, right? Okay. No, and so then he tells this interesting illustration. You don't put a new piece of cloth on an old garment because the new piece of cloth will shrink. You ever done this with blue jeans? With denim, anybody? Anyway, and so it'll shrink when it gets wet and it'll pull away and the damage will be worse. Now that is something that these guys understood. There's probably not five people in this room that actually do this kind of stuff. There's a handful of us that still do this, particularly people who are seamstresses like Reba and others. But you don't, and the fabrics we use today are pre-shrunk. But in the old days, before sizing and whatever it is that makes them not shrink, I hadn't found that in my shirt yet, but anyway, whatever that is. They would put a new piece of cloth. No one would put a new piece of cloth over a hole, over old cloth, because the new will shrink, and if you tie it down too tight with threads, it will pull apart, and the damage to the material will be even worse. Now, that's the illustration. And then he goes from that one to wine skins and wine. I bet nobody's ever bought wine in a wine skin. That we would know, but you'd say, "No, nobody in this church buys wine." Well, if you buy wine, I bet you don't buy it in a wineskin. I bet you can't go into any liquor store in town and find any in a wineskin. Now, I don't frequent those places, so I don't really know, but I'm supposing. I probably could have gone for a visit just for illustration purposes today, then I could speak with authority. But, you know, it comes in bottles. It comes in kegs. It comes in glass containers. It comes in all kinds of, but in this day, wine was kept in a wineskin. Usually, it was the bladder of an animal. And it was made out of real fleshy tissues, and it was dried, it was cured, it was gone through a process, and then it was used, and as you put the new wine in it, as the wine continued to ferment, it would expand, the gases would expand, and the new wineskin was supple. It was flexible, it would move, and it would expand with the wine, and the wine would be preserved. But if you put new wine into an old skin, one that had already been stretched, and then when it began to continue to ferment and the gases would begin to expand, it would burst the wineskin. Now, there is a process in that day for refurbishing a wineskin. That's not in the Bible, but in history we found out you could reprocess them and make them supple again. But in this story or this illustration Jesus is giving is that if you put the new wine into the skin and it began to ferment and it was an old skin, it would burst the skin, then the wine would be spilled, the skin would be ruined, and the wine would be spilled. Now, those are the two illustrations. Got it? You know, one is the wineskin, and then the other is the cloth. Now, what was Jesus talking about here? Remember, one of the principles of understanding the Scripture is you got to understand what he was talking about, what the people who was listening to him understood him to be talking about, before you dare begin to try to make an application to your own life. So what was he talking about? The question that had been presented to him was a religious question about fasting. Right? It was a religious question. So Jesus, in these two illustrations, is saying this. Look, there is something new coming on the scene, and the structures of Judaism are not going to be sufficient for the new wine. The structures of John the Baptist and his teaching were not going to be adequate to contain the new wine. That's as simple as it is. It's not more complex than that. I've heard some great sermons on this that far exceeded the intent of the Scripture. But that's the point. Now, almost everybody in this room are people that love Jesus. There may be one or two here that don't know the Lord. I hope you come to know the Lord today if you're here and don't know Him. But most of us know the Lord. Most of us are familiar with something about the new wine, the life of God, the life of the kingdom of God that's in us. Here's the word I feel like the Lord gave me for today. Just real simple. If you want to be at a different place with the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of 2013, you're going to have to change your wineskin, or you're going to have to change your britches. I mean, your cloth. Because whatever new thing God wants to do in you will mess with your old stuff. Let me see. I might need to come down so I can talk to you. I said, whatever new thing God wants to do, whatever expansion He wants to make in your life, whatever bubbles He wants to stir up inside you, what you have done for the last 10, 15, 20 years will not hold that. Will not hold it. Well, Pastor, what would that? I don't know. I don't know how you live your life in Christ. I know how I live my life in Christ, but I don't know how you live your life in Christ. You may have to change some things. You may have to change the amount of time you spend reading the Bible. You may have to change some time in prayer. You may have to change some ways you do work. You know, I don't know what the change is. I don't know what the structures are. But I clearly heard the Lord said, there's a stirring coming. There's a bubbling coming. There's an effervescence being released. There's an energizing coming into the body of Christ and coming in to the church, and particularly into this church. And it's going to require some adjustments. The Lord said to me very clearly, this is both individual and corporate. So I immediately skipped over the individual part because I'm a pastor and started thinking about, what does that mean for the church? What does that mean for us here? You know? And I got to the end of prayer and the Lord said, look, don't you just assume you know what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. Okay. But individually, for me and for you and for everyone, and you know, our relationship with God, we are in the body of Christ, and we all supply some facet and aspect in the body of Christ, as it's Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12. But really and truly, you have a unique, individual, very personal relationship with the living God. God doesn't save us in bunches. It's interesting. We are born again individually so we can see the kingdom of God, so we can have spiritual perception. That's what John 3 says, right? So I thought we were born again to go to heaven. No. You're born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again so you can see the kingdom of God. If you're going to have spiritual perception, you've got to be born again. Now you do get to go to heaven. But that's not why you get born again. You get born again so you can see what the Father's doing. You can hear what the Father's saying. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be led by the Holy Spirit. You can be fruitful. You can be productive. You can contribute to the kingdom of God and the earth before you go hang out with the angels. This foolishness that's been preached that when you get saved so you miss hell and go to heaven is certainly partially true. You do get saved so you can go to heaven, but you don't get saved so you can go to heaven. You get saved so you can be in a relationship with the living God. When you hang out with the living God, guess what? When your life in this earth here, just like it did for Elizabeth, ends, then you get to go hang out with Him through eternity. That's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. But God's got stuff for you to do. He's got gifts that He's imparted to you. He's got anointings that He's given to you. He's given ability to serve in particular ways. Missy and I stayed in a home while we were there in Tennessee. Wonderful people. Wonderful to make new friends. People that love God with all their hearts. I spent the whole weekend reading to them 1 Corinthians 12 about the ministry of helps. These people have have illustrated in their life the ministry of helps for 30 years. But as I listened to them talk, they felt like it. They didn't know. So I sat down with them and I said, let me help you. That's what I do. That's what I do. I pastor people. I shepherd people. I pull the fleas out of the fur. You know, I shear a few every once in a while. Try not to kill any of them, but I do try to get the wool off of them because it'll kill you if you don't get rid of some of that wool. Anyway, and so I sat down with them, and it was a moment. You know how you have those moments where God is, it's just a moment? Everybody nod your head like you think you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know. And I read it. I said, let me get my Bible. I want to read you this scripture. And I read apostle, prophet, evangelist, worker of miracles, helps. So you see that little word right there? That's you. He took me to a 40-acre tract of land that, quite miraculously, he's a land investor guy, and that God had given him. And the Lord said to him when he was going to sell it for some business, and he said, no, I got special plans for this land. And he said, okay. And you know what sits on that land now? There's at least three churches, maybe four. Two of which he provided the resources, and I don't mean money, but I mean a place and a location for them to start up their church. And we're talking about denomination, cross-denominational lines. This guy is a quintessential helps minister, helping the body of Christ at large. And he's a member of a local church and submitted to a pastor and all that. But his ministry far exceeds his local church, and he is a helps minister. I'm telling you, we need to know you have a place in the body. It's true. But you are not saved as a group. You have an individual, personal relationship with God. And I'm telling you, in 2013, God is going to ask you to move beyond the structures of your history into some new places in Him. And if you'll make those changes, you will discover the life, bubbling, effervescent power of God stirring on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit will show you what those places are. You don't have to wander around saying, well, I wonder what Pastor's talking about. He'll show you. See, I depend on that. I depend on that. That as I share the principles of the kingdom of God with you and the principles from the Word of God with you, I depend on the fact that your relationship with God, the same Holy Spirit that's speaking in me to speak to you, is speaking to you and will clarify, will inform, will cause you to understand the things that the Bible is teaching that I'm sharing with you. So I'm not saying this morning so that you'll leave here thinking, I wonder what God's going to do. No, you just continue to walk with God. You continue to be obedient to God. I love it that this church is inclined to obedience. You are inclined to obedience. I've watched it for 28 years. You are inclined to obedience. This church is not a rebellious church. This church is not a disobedient church. This church is not a lazy church. This church is none of that stuff. Could we do better? We can always do better. But it's not your inclination to resist God. It's your inclination to walk with God. And we're all growing in that. And I don't know why the Lord wanted me to tell you that, because I guess He just wanted me to communicate to you that He sees it. And He's proud of you. And He likes it. And it positions you for His favor. It positions you for increase. It positions you for anointing. It positions you to be in a place where you can make the changes in your wineskin. Because God knows when He deals with you in an individual way that you're willing to make adjustments. God loves us, you guys. He's got good things for us. There is a devil, and the devil kills, steals, and destroys. There is a warfare going on. We are in the middle of it. We need to be happy about it, sad about it, fuss about it, argue about it, but it's still true. And I tell you the truth, I want to be inclined to go with God. Even if I drag my feet and I don't understand and I talk and whine, but I want my inclination of my heart to always be, yes, Lord. Don't you? I think it's real important in 2013 that the inclination of our heart be, yes, Lord. Now, that's at an individual level. At a corporate level, I personally want to be inclined to say, yes, Lord. I've told people for years, if I'm going to miss God, I'm not going to miss God because I'm resisting doing risky stuff. If I miss God, I'm going to miss God trying to follow God. If I'm going to have an error, make a mistake, it's because I'm going to go out on that limb. Now, I don't know if you know that about me, but I hope you know that because it's really true. It's been true for a long time. It still is true. God moves on me to give a message in tongues. I'm going to do it, and if nobody interprets it and I look like a fool, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm inclined to go with God. And I found out being embarrassed has never killed anybody. How about this? Making a mistake has never killed anybody. Pride, on the other hand, has stopped a whole lot of stuff. Well, amen. All right, so wineskins. God's going to do something new in your heart. It's probably going to mean there's going to be some changes. God's going to do something new in Life Changer this year. I expect it means there's going to be some changes. So my sermon to you today is this. As we're going into the new year, don't be surprised and don't get offended if things change. Well, I don't know why we got to do it that way. We've never done it like that way before. Can we talk? And y'all remember this in June. Because if you know anything about me, you know I'm real slow about changing. Some people think I'm not just slow. I am caterpillar slow. Let me talk about one other passage of Scripture briefly. In 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16, this is the story of the widow at Zarephath. Now, if you need God to change something in your life, you have a part to play in that. Now, y'all know this story. Elijah was, by the brook, and the brook dried up, and the ravens quit bringing him, and he prayed, and God said, go down to the widow. I prepared a widow for you. I mean, you read the text later. I prepared this widow to feed you. He gets there, and she hasn't got anything. Got a little cruise oil, a little bit of flour. And her attitude was, I'm going to eat a worm and die. I'm going to eat a little cake. I'm going to make a little cake and feed my son. We're going to die. And the prophet said, well, you feed me first. Let's see what will happen. And so I felt strongly to say this to you, that as God brings changes to your life and you really have a thing that you're struggling with, a place, you're in a tough, tough place, the way this works is that He will speak to you about something that's in your hand. I'm not getting ready to receive an offering or anything like that, but the principle is really clear. If you're in a famine and you're in a difficult place, it's not going to come from the outside to redeem you. It's going to come from the inside. Redemption is going to come by the Word of God and your obedience on the inside. And by putting Him first in that area. So let's just say, let's take some safe things to talk about. I don't want to mess with you too much this morning. Let's say you're having an emotional thing. Anybody ever have emotional things? Having an emotional thing. You know what? You might have to take and go and overcome that emotional thing by doing something that's kingdom-oriented. You never get beyond fear by being afraid. You get overcome fear by being courageous. By that means you step out into the area of fear and do something. You never get over depression by sitting around wanting to. Or getting therapy. Usually therapy doesn't help depression. It kind of teaches you some skills to manage it, but you don't get rid of it that way. You get rid of it by the Word of God. You get rid of it by taking action. Behavior is stronger than feelings. You can never think your way into feeling better, but you can behave your way into feeling better. That's not original to me, but it's true. Okay? Now, here's this woman. She's in a famine. She needs her wineskin to change. She needs her circumstances to change. The way her circumstances changed was to hear what God was saying and obey that. And then things changed. My life experience, Michelle and I just had our 38th wedding anniversary this last Friday. We've been married 38 years. I've been in ministry about 40, maybe more now. 40. I've been saying 40 years for the last 3 years, so I'm probably 43 years now. For a long time, and time after time after time after time, when we needed change in our life, the more we asked God to do it, the less effective it became. You know what made it work? It's when we said, okay, Lord, what is your first step? And here's the thing. God will never tell you or ask you to do something you cannot do. Never. So she didn't have much oil. She didn't have much meal. She had a little bit. Right? But she could do what the prophet said do. Isn't that right? God never asks you to do what you cannot do. Never. Now, he will ask you to do some things that will require you to put him first and trust him. He does that in economics. He does it in relationships. He does it in every arena of life. So, 2013, y'all remember the old saying that came around a few years ago? If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten. Remember that? You know, here's another one. I just wrote this one this morning. It's not by anybody famous, but here it is. What I've learned is the urgent will supplant the important. And life presents many urgent things. Just living will present many things that will keep you distracted from what's important. If you want to accomplish what's important, it's another whole message. You need to write them down. You need to think about it. You need to reflect on it. You need to write it down, prioritize it, and then work the urgent in around it. But don't allow the urgent to supplant that which is most important. I'm learning that myself. Okay? So we got these two stories. Jesus saying the religious structures of the day will not contain the kingdom of God. I'm saying the application to that to us is this. Life changers, you who are inclined to obey God, you who are inclined to yield to the Holy Spirit, you who are walking with God, no matter how you feel about it, I'm an external observer and it's true. But I'm telling you, as the Holy Spirit begins to move powerfully among us, some of your structures will not withstand it. And it's the funniest thing. You ever been mad because God broke your structure? You ever get frustrated with God because he decided to do it different than you wanted him to? I still think he thinks he's God, and I'm not. But we're in partnership together. We're co-laborers with Christ. I tell you, my prayer for our new year is this, that we'll be more filled with the Holy Spirit than we've ever been. And listen to this, that we will learn what it means to reach the unchurched in Claremore. Among those unchurched people, there's some lost people. But there are far more people who think they're saved and don't go to church than there are people who've never heard the gospel in Claremore. Honey, we live in the Bible Belt. We might even at least be the buckle or a hole near the buckle in Claremore. Everybody knows the story around here. In 28 years, I've met 3 or 4 people that didn't. Most people know the story. Even in the culture we live in, people are very religious, but a lot of them don't have fellowship in the body of Christ. My prayer for us is that we'll learn something about reaching the unchurched this year. And I think it'll require some change in our skins. You know, my mandate to Chris is I want our worship to be passionate. Even if it looks funky, feels strange, I want our worship to be heartfelt and passionate. Not saying it's not, but I want it. I want it in me. I don't want to be standing here on the front row singing songs, just kind of being the leader and saying, I got to do what everybody else does because everybody's watching me. Understand? Passionate worship. I want to see lives transformed. I'm teaching for transformation. If you don't know it, the stuff I'm teaching this morning will change your life. If you will hear what I'm saying, and more importantly, if you will hear what the Spirit is saying, take heed to it, it will change your life radically. You'll be at the end of 2013, you'll be in a different place with Christ. You will. And I want us to learn better ways to serve our community. We serve our community in the food ministry. We serve our community in a free breakfast once a month. We serve our community in various kinds of ways. But I want us to find other ways that we can serve our community. That the love of God is manifested. I think if we pursue those priorities or those values, it will require our wineskin to get squished a little bit. It'll require some changes in the skin. And I know when I have a need, just like the lady at Zarephath, that widow woman who was in a terrible situation, when you're in a tough place, God will speak to you about something that's in your hand. Time, money, effort, energy. God will speak to you about something that you control. And when you give it to Him, put Him first, it opens the windows of heaven. It opens the doors of God. It opens the priorities of the Spirit to come and do miraculous things in your life. It always does. That's how it works. Amen? All right. Did you get anything out of that this morning? I hope so. Praise God. A reminder, we need some help on Friday to get the Christmas decorations taken care of. And